Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer together. Father, we bow our heads again to acknowledge that Thou art our God, and in Thee have we put our trust. We're coming to the part of the service where we are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of Your Son, saying, Abba, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. And the truth is the truth of Your Word that gives light that we might walk. It gives warning that we might change. And He gives hope to keep us faithful. So Lord, we do pray that You'd bless our time around Your Word. May it glorify Thee, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verse 7. It says, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah is a type of Old Testament saints, is a type of the nation of Israel, or actually those who will be coming through the tribulation period. And so I ought to start all over again. Noah is a type of those who are going to be coming through the tribulation. They are the saints that will be added to the number that will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. In the Old Testament, we have an illustration of the harvest. When Israel harvested their crops, they had what is known as the first fruits. Then they had the harvest, and then they had the gleanings. Last Sunday, we looked at the life of Enoch. Enoch is a type of the harvest, where God harvests all those that are part of the church into the heavens, because Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. And here we find in Noah an example of the gleanings. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10, it says, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. This is a handful of wheat. It's not the harvest, it's just a handful. When Jesus Christ was crucified, the graves in Jerusalem and we don't know where else were opened. And then when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they came up out of their graves. Now that might be an example of the first fruits, just a handful. And we're studying the handful in Hebrews chapter 11. All of these men and women live by faith. And so we're studying the cloud of witnesses who might be maybe not all of them, but the first fruits, okay? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 23 it says, But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So it speaks about the first fruits and those that are Christ at his coming. In Leviticus 19 in verse 9 it says, When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. In other words, when you are harvesting your crops, you don't harvest up into the corner of your land. And if you drop some of your harvest in the field accidentally, you can't go back and get it. If you leave a sheaf of wheat out in the field, it stays. And the reason for that is for the poor. The poor were to go in and harvest in the corners, and pick up anything in the field that was left behind. And so in studying of Noah, we are studying the gleanings, if you please, it seems like to me. That's not the primary part of our study this morning, but I want to you to see the fact that we're talking about Noah being spared through a great tribulation that happened here on the earth, the flood, where Enoch was caught up before the flood and Noah went through the flood even though he was in an ark. In Revelation chapter 7, we have a type, or we see the tribulation saints referred to. And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whither came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which was in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So here we see a group of people who made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, and they are the ones who came through great tribulation. In Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 4 it says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Obviously, those that are caught up before the tribulation period into the heavens don't have to worry about the mark of the beast or in their forehead or in their hands. And so this is talking about a group of people who could either choose to receive it or choose to reject it. And those who rejects that mark, they are beheaded. They lose their life. They're killed. And notice that it's those that are beheaded because of the Word of God. And what is the significance of that? The Word of God is the preaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And so if you embrace the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, which we do here, we are in danger of being beheaded, particularly if we are living during the tribulation period. And so these that lose their life because of their witness of the Lord and the Word of God, and they don't worship the beast or his image, they will rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And in fact, in Revelation 20 and verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. A better translation of the word first there would be best resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So I see in the life of Noah, those who go through tribulation period, they wash their robes in the blood, they overcome Satan by the blood. We didn't refer to that passage. But they are martyred because of their testimony and because of the preaching and embracing of the Word of God, which has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 7, it says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What things had Noah not seen as yet? Well, the Lord coined a word for Noah. And the word that he coined is the word rain. rain was not in the vocabulary of those who lived before the flood, because it didn't rain on the earth. The earth was watered from the mist that came up out of the ground. So God says, no, I want to teach you a new word. Rain. And because he says it's going to rain on the earth, and obviously it was going to be for 40 days and 40 nights. And so he coined a word, but he was warned of God of things not seen. In fact, Noah hadn't seen a boat. So I guess the Lord coined another word for him. He says, I've got a new word for you. It's called boat. It's actually an ark, a box, because I want you to build one. But the thing that I see here is this. Before God began to do something as dramatic as he was about to do, he warned his prophets. And in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and surely as the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So the Lord warned Noah, and which in turn Noah warned the people. In fact, he had 120 years of preaching while he was building. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, and it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. In other words, God revealed to Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, because the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was grievous. In fact, we are able to take the warning ourselves because of Luke chapter 17. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, just as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day that the Lord is going to be coming. Are we living in the days of Lot? Absolutely. We're living in a day of wickedness, evil. And the behavior and the activity and the lifestyle and the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah is with us. And so therefore we have been warned from the New Testament. In Psalms 25, well, I didn't include it in this, but it was as it was in the days of Noah as well. But we'll get that in just a little bit here. Because as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of Noah. But in Psalm 25, in verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. One of the things that we see in Hebrews 11, verse 7, is that Noah was warned of God, and he moved with fear. He moved with fear. He did something, and he moved with fear. And it's the secrets of the Lord that are with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Did God show Noah his covenant? He sure did. He made a covenant with Noah when he put the bow in the heavens. The rainbow is a covenant that he made with Noah. Yeah, here it is, Luke 17, verse 26. I thought I had put it in there, and it should have been right after the passage of Lot. But anyway, it was revealed to Noah, and Noah moved with fear, and it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. In Luke 17, verse 26 and 7. As it was in the days of Noah, or Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. How was it in the days of Noah? Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. I don't have to say any more, really, when you think about how evil the thoughts of man is today. It's just appalling that we can see the days of Noah all around us. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, the earth also was corrupt before God. Corruption. Corruption in every government. Lying. Stealing. And it says the earth was filled with violence. Well, I don't have to read the headlines to remind you of that, because we just, 9/11. And the bombings go on. I'm not talking about in Afghanistan. I'm just talking about in Israel. And Somalia. And Zimbabwe. I was just reading about Zimbabwe. Things going on down there. It's just in the Philippines. Ireland, right. It's just everywhere. And God looked upon the earth and beheld it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said that unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we're living in the days of Lot, and we're living in the days of Noah. And Noah is a witness unto us today. We should see the warning of God and move with fear. We don't have to be afraid, but we need to know the fear of the Lord. You know what happens to us when we have no fear of God? Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 10 beginning. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You don't have the fear of the Lord, you're going to live any way you want. You're going to live like it was in the days of Lot. You're going to live like it was in the days of Noah. Violence, corruption, your thoughts are going to be evil continually if there's no fear of God in your heart. There is none that understandeth. If you don't have the fear of the Lord in your heart, you're not going to understand what God is doing or what He is all about. Today people are trying to eliminate God totally. And the power is in the money. And in particular, I'm thinking of creationism versus evolution. The evolutionists have the power. They have the money, particularly in the school systems. But anyway, there's none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. If you don't have the fear of God in your heart, you're not going to be seeking the Lord. You're not going to want to have any fellowship with Him. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That's what you call spiritual halitosis. I mean, being around them, I don't even think sin would work. I don't even know whether they sell sin anymore or not. But that's that stuff you put on the tip of your tongue to make your breath smell sweet. Some use juicy fruit. But anyway, spiritual halitosis. And with their tongues they use deceit. They're liars. I mean, if you don't have the fear of God, it's nothing to lie. The fear of God says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You know, that does make me consider, at least stop and think before I lie. Okay? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. Why? There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's what it takes, the fear of God, to eliminate all of these problems. And you know those that put on like they have peace, but they don't. They don't have it. And the way of peace they don't know. And there is misery and destruction in their life. They're miserable. And but anyway, let's go on. Now, Noah found grace. Noah lived in this period of time. He found grace. You know what that means for us? That we too need to find the grace of God. We find that in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It takes the grace of God, which is the power of Christ, to sustain us in an evil and wicked generation or time. And Noah found grace. And Noah did not let the lifestyle and the culture drag him down. And I believe that it takes the grace of God to keep us from being dragged into the muck of those who do not have the fear of God in their life. It says, now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. You know what? That's a witness and testimony to us. He had that testimony for what reason? That we too might do what Noah did. To be perfect, obviously that doesn't mean that we are to be sinless perfect, so to speak. This what this has to do with without spot. This is ceremonially perfect. This word here, perfect, is the word used in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That's the word perfect. Without blemish. Abraham lived and his life was not blemished. He had a good testimony with the people around him, and of course he walked with God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 tells us, in where it says, and spared not the old world but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see the word persons? That's in italics. And the way I read that is Noah the eighth. I wonder where Noah the second is and Noah the third. That's just foolishness. He was the eighth person that was saved. He wasn't the eighth from Adam. There were eight people that were saved in the ark. That's Noah the eighth. He was the last. But he was a preacher of righteousness. When did Noah preach? He preached for 120 years while he was building the ark. Back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Just in case you didn't get it, Noah did. And the Lord said it again, and so did he. When Noah heard of the warning from God, he moved. We all need to have that kind of motivation. We need to let the Word of God impact our life so that when we hear it, we change. We move. We are obedient to His Word. If we are not, what's missing? The fear of the Lord. If the Word of God doesn't change your life, you are losing or you have lost the fear of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul. What are the requirements of God? First of all, to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord thy God. If you don't fear the Lord thy God, you're not going to walk in His ways. You're not going to love Him. You're not going to serve Him with your whole heart or with your soul. So God requires us to have fear. Now, we're not talking about being afraid of God. We don't have to be afraid of Him. We just need to respect Him. I know this, if I'm in a court of law, particularly if I've been summoned there, I walk very carefully, and I am very careful what I say, and so is everyone else. And you don't try to tell somebody that, oh, where did that come from? Talking about that .45 pistol with an extra clip in her purse. Well, she knows the difference now. But anyway, we're to fear the Lord. In Psalms 25:12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You know what the fear of the Lord allows us to be? Teachable. And you know what? We're all looking for leadership. We need to know what to do. If we have the fear of the Lord, it's easier for the Lord to tell us what to do and where to go and what not to do. If you don't fear the Lord, you're not teachable. You're stiff-necked. And we need to be teachable. We need to allow God to teach us something so that we can do what pleases Him and help ourselves. Let me tell you, if you're doing what God would have you to do, you don't have to worry about your future or even what's going on now. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 and 13, it says, gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy strangers, that is, within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and the fear of the Lord. That they may learn and fear the Lord, your God. Observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord. You know, you have to learn the fear of the Lord. You catch cold. Okay? You catch cold, but you don't catch the fear of the Lord. You gotta go to school to learn the fear of the Lord. Okay? You gotta learn it. It takes time. And it's through hearing that we learn. That's the reason why the Word of God is so important in this place. Because we are in the Word of God because we want the fear of the Lord to have its place in each of our hearts. And the children need to learn the fear of the Lord. If the parents don't have the fear of the Lord, the kids aren't. If your pastor has no fear of the Lord, you're not going to have the fear of the Lord either. And I want to learn the fear of the Lord that I can share that with you and encourage you in that. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 is something interesting here too. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herd, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. I'm just going to get to the heart of the matter rather than going into all the detail about this verse, but what this is saying is this. If you don't tithe, you don't fear God. Tithing is how you learn to fear the Lord. Now what this is actually talking about here is this. If you live 500 miles from the temple, or you live a long way off from the temple, he says, what he's saying in this verse, he says, you pile up all your tithe, that is, your corn, your wine, your oil, and your firstlings of your herd, and you consume them in one meal. That's like saying, taking a year's worth of tithe and just having a real bash. One time. Just blow it all. That's what he's saying in this verse of Scripture. But he's saying it, you do it in a place that I have called for you to do it in. Not just anywhere. But he's saying, the point I want you to get here is tithing is part of learning the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111. Verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. You want wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. Isaiah 33, verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You know what the fear of the Lord should be? Valuable to you and to me. Do we need stability in a day like today? Absolutely we need stability. You know what this word stability is? It's translated in Amos, I believe it's in Amos, where it says the just shall live by faith. Amos 2, 5 or 6. The word stability and the word faith are the same Hebrew word. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the faith of thy times, the faithfulness of thy times, the confidence of thy times, the stability of thy times, and the fear of the Lord our treasure. The fear of the Lord is a blessing. Psalms 33, verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon whom? On them that fear him, absolutely. Upon them that hope in his mercy. What's he going to do for those who fear him? He's going to deliver them. What else is he going to do with them? He's going to keep them from death, unless it's required. You know, I mean, there are times when we are going to have to die for the Lord. But he's going to keep us alive in famine. You're not going to be too hungry. You may not have steak and all, but he's going to keep you alive in famine. Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that who? That fear him. And delivereth them. You know, I was thinking about the presidents. You know, all the ex-presidents have what? To protect them. The Secret Service. Well, we got the Secret Service too. Except we have a Secret Service that's got more power, and they never get sleepy, and they don't have to change watches. It's the angel of the Lord that camps around those that fear him. I tell you, I'll take that Secret Service any day over a bunch of fellows that may not be very good. You know, we have good days and bad days when it comes to shooting or protecting, you know, well, anyway. Anyway, the Secret Service of the Lord is the camp of the angels around us. Psalms 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You know, I think all of us need mercy. We all goof up. We all make mistakes. And if we have the fear of the Lord's going to be merciful to us. He's not going to mash us right away. No, he will discipline us. But you know what I'm saying. He will be merciful. Another blessing is in Psalm 145, 17 through 19. Where it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of whom? Them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. You know what? I want the fear of the Lord in my life so that when I pray, God will hear me and help me. He may not give me everything I want when I pray, but I know that he is righteous in what he does give me, and he is holy in what he does for me, and I don't have to doubt that. 1 minute. I want to fear the Lord because I want him to fulfill my desire. You know what my desire is? I want to stand in his presence approved. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to enter into the joy of the Lord. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I'm praying that God would help me to respond to him working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm asking God to help me to hold forth the word of life, that I can rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's my desire. Do you know that God is interested in me fulfilling that desire and coming to that place in my life when I stand in his presence? And it takes the fear of the Lord for that to happen. Psalms 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that what? Fear him. Hey, I want the Lord to take pleasure in me. Don't you? I've taken pleasure in people. I've taken pleasure in my wife. You know, I don't hit her. I give her food every day. You know, I give her a place to stay. You know, and you know what I'm saying? I take pleasure in my wife. I care for her. I care for Jean. And And she just needs to learn how to fear me, that's all. No. She does. No. You know what? The Lord taketh pleasures in us because we fear Him and we hope in His mercy. And you know what? It says that because of this, Noah became the heir of the righteousness of faith. You know what that means? It means that he will be ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. James chapter 2 verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" That has to do with the fear of the Lord. May the Lord help us to take the counsel and the wisdom of Noah to heart today, because we're living in the days of Noah. And if we will, we are going to be blessed because the Word of God has promised it. Father, we just thank you for your Word. We just thank you, Lord, that we have a copy of it, that we can study it, that we can read it, that we can learn to fear Thee. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid of you, because we know you love us, because we know what it cost you to open the door of fellowship with us that we needed, and you did it for us. Even when we were sinners, we weren't very pleasing to you. We want to thank you for that, and we ask you, Lord, to bless the message to each of our hearts and lives. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.